One of the most feared phrases for last-minute Christmas shoppers is "some assembly required." It's strange that in a society which craves instant everything, more and more of what we buy comes from this dreaded tag, "some assembly required." While we may grumble and complain, we still buy the products because it's supposed to make them less expensive. Besides, when you do last-minute shopping, there isn't anyone to put the thing together anyway. Some assembly required. That's just another way of saying ain't gonna be any sleep for us on Christmas Eve. If people came with tags on them, I'm sure they'd come with the same tag, some assembly required. The friends we make and the marriage partners we choose are all flawed almost as much as we are. Yet for some reason, what we tolerate in toys, outdoor furniture, and a host of other things, we don't tolerate in relationships. We don't want to expand any effort to make our relationships work. They have to be magic. We expect our friends and marriage partners to meet our needs and fulfill our dreams. If we don't get it, then we quit it. We trade our current friend or marriage partner in on a newer model. Deep down, however, we know these kinds of relationships are not going to have any depth or staying power. But what can you do? After all, isn't this how everyone else treats everyone else? No, not in Jesus. We learn that some assembly is required with any meaningful relationship. If Joseph hadn't accepted some assembly required in his relationship with Mary, if he hadn't listened to the angel and had given up on Mary, then what? When God created us, I'm sure he knew there would be some assembly required. Earlier this month, we heard a gospel that recounted Mary's troubled response to the angel's news that she would become pregnant out of wedlock. Initially, she was dismayed and frightened. What great trust and faith it took for her to eventually agree to this strange turn of events. Joseph also gets an angel visitor in today's gospel who tells him not to follow through on his plans to divorce Mary, to stay the course, to remember any good relationship there is, some assembly is required. One can only imagine the conversation this couple must have had trying to sort out these heavenly messages. A mother was preparing pancakes for her sons, Kevin 5 and Ryan 3. The boys began to argue over who would get the first pancake. Their mother saw an opportunity for a moral lesson. If Jesus were sitting here, he would say, "Let my brother have the first pancake. I can wait." Kevin, with an innocent smile, turned to his younger brother and said, "Ryan, do you want to be Jesus?" I read Ann Landers, the former well-known newspaper counselor, that she received an average of 10,000 letters a month. Almost all were from people burdened with life's problems. She was asked if there was one problem that people seemed to struggle with more than any other. Her reply was fear. Fear is a common problem which none of us are immune. According to a well-known doctor, 90% of chronic patients who see today's physicians have one common symptom, and that is fear. The angel in today's gospel says to St. Joseph, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary, your wife." The angel said these words because St. Joseph was planning to part ways with Mary, secretly, even if he is already betrothed to her when he finds out that Mary is pregnant. There were severe laws against adultery in biblical times. If a man discovered that his fiancée was pregnant by another man, he had the right to denounce his wife. She could be sentenced to death by stoning. The husband-to-be would cast the first stone. Joseph, being a righteous man, the Bible tells us, he believed in the truly worshiping God and tried to follow God's laws. God's laws were clear that adulterers were to be stoned. He put aside his own feelings of hurt to take care of matters in a way that would not end with Mary being disgraced and maybe executed. And so he wanted to part ways with Mary secretly. You could come to the conclusion that St. Joseph was not afraid to take Mary to be his wife. What St. Joseph was afraid of was that he would also be the legal father of Jesus. If St. Joseph had to take Mary as his wife, he also had to accept Jesus as the son of Mary. Since he knew who Jesus was, he could have been afraid to be the legal father of Jesus. This would mean to carry on a very personal and intimate relation with him. St. Joseph could have been fearful of the challenges and demands that this relationship might require of him. On our part, the question now for us to reflect on is this: why are we afraid of, especially taking responsibility? Anyway, all of us have fears. Some are good and they protect us, and some are bad and they destroy us. If we are persons of many fears, our life will not only be miserable, but we are easy targets for Satan. Satan is so happy if we are afraid. Satan preys on our fears, like fear of rejection, fear of growing old, fear of pain, and fear of loneliness. There's no surprise about what we're getting ready to celebrate at the end of this week. God's special gift to us in the person of Jesus is something that Christians have celebrated for centuries. As we need to realize that the birth of Jesus is a special gift from God to us, I like to imagine God just before the birth of Jesus and compare how he must have felt to how parents feel just before Christmas. As moms and dads caution their children about rattling their presents, they speak these words: "We can't wait for you to see what we have for you this year. You're going to love it." It has been almost a year since his dad had left home. He had only talked to him by telephone on special occasions when the overseas operator could get a good connection. His mother had gotten a call last week explaining that his dad would be home for Christmas, but he wanted to surprise his son. All week long, the boy had asked his mother what he was getting for Christmas. She would smile and say, "Oh, you're going to love it." The creator of the universe had almost completed his creation when he caused the man to go to sleep. As he began to doze, he heard the great voice say, "Just wait until you wake up. You won't believe what comes next. You're going to love it." The presents under the tree are about to be opened. The wrappings will be discarded. The gifts, even the most valuable ones, will eventually lose their value. But the greatest gift of all, the gift of God's Son, will be with us forever. And he doesn't mind that there is some assembly required. You're going to love it. Enjoy his gift. But above all, we should not be afraid, because Jesus, Emmanuel, which means God is with us, from ancient times, God has said, "I am with you." Words that dispel fear and give hope, words that stroke the fan of faith. God had litanies of these words, "I am with you," to his people in Genesis. He told Abraham, "I am with you," in Exodus. He told Moses, "I am with you." In Matthew, Christ, God the Son, told his disciples, "I am with you always." When the disciples found the risen Lord, Christ told them, "Go make disciples of all nations, teach them and baptize them," because God is with his disciples. We now have over 2 billion Christians around the world. In Acts, God told Paul, "I am with you." One day, while Paul preached in the synagogue that Jesus is the Christ, the Jews jeered him. Paul walked out and said, "From now on, I am going to preach to the Gentiles." In a vision, Paul heard God say, "I am with you." Is God still with us today? Does our experience of daily life indicate God is with us? Sometimes we wonder whether God is with us, but a little reflection, we see it's true. That God is with us in prayer, in our church, in our marriages, our family life. and in our personal lives. As we celebrate the fourth Sunday in Advent, throughout the history of our faith, God never tires of singing the love song, "I am with you."